Y'all look pretty good out there. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that Christ arose. Christ arose, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, for helping us come into worship today. I love that selection of songs, Lisa. That was awesome. We got some props here we're going to be putting into place. Let's do that now. Okay. All right. Today we're going to be celebrating Easter, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. You know, today is an important date in so many ways. It's a date that represents a tremendous gift from God. It's a date that represents the cornerstone of our faith in Christ. It's a date that represents victory, triumph, deliverance. It's the centerpiece of history. Our calendar is based on this date. And so, you know, in the Bible, we are characterized as sheep. It's characterized as many things, but sheep is one of them. And while, you know, we were sheep and our sheep, while we were out grazing in the field, our shepherd was defending us from the wolf. And while we had our nose to the ground, the Lord was defeating our enemy. And so this morning, we want to talk with you about, and we're going to be, Tanae and I are going to work together with this, and some of our young people are going to help us. But we want to answer this question. Why was there necessary for there to be the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 says, Paul said, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, the death, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So we want to answer the question, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to be buried? And why was he resurrected? So with all of this distraction going on around me, I hope you're tracking with me this morning. Most people think the death and the burial was a defeat and the resurrection was a victory. But let me tell you, it was all a victory. The death, the burial, and the resurrection, none of it was a defeat. It was all a victory. Now, you know, we've been talking for several weeks now about the, looks good, y'all did a good job, about the kingdom of God. And it's with that thought in mind that we want to look today about Easter. It is a kind of a culmination of the kingdom. And I've been sharing with you that God's kingdom is different than earthly kingdoms. The kingdom of God is not external force of God trying to triumph over you like an earthly kingdom's would, by force, by sword, by violence, and overthrow other kingdoms. The kingdom of God is all about you voluntarily surrendering to the King. It's an internal transformation that happens. And when you see God as King, it can expand your thinking and your possibilities. You can see things very differently. You can see the creation differently. Because the world we live in right now is not as God intended it. There was an overthrow of the kingdom by our enemy, Satan, and the dominion that God had given to man, Satan usurped that, man surrendered that to him, And God's creation has never been the same since that day. And when Satan came and usurped that and deceived man into relinquishing his dominion, it affected everything. It affected us as human beings. It affected all of creation. I have to ask God a lot of questions. Why is there mosquitoes? Why are there gnats? Why do I have an appendix if I don't need it, they tell me? Why am I getting old? Why does the font shrink on my paper? And the belt gets tighter? This creation is not as God intended it. Many people ask things in their lives. If God is so good, why did he allow that little one to die? Why is there cancer? Why does he allow the wicked to flourish? These are all good questions. And Jesus tells us that currently, right now, the prince of this world is Satan. He has a certain amount of power and strength at this time. Satan does. But Jesus was put to death and buried and resurrected for you and me. And while we don't see all the effect of that fully in place at this time, we see some of it. The Bible says that right now, when you surrender to him, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And certain things are done in heaven. And we are to pray, Lord, what you have done in heaven, now bring down to this earth. And God is in the process of transforming all of those that have given their life to him. He's in the process of transforming them from the inside out into what he originally intended at the very, very beginning. And so God's kingdom, while it was invaded by evil, Jesus came to come and return man back to his rightful place of dominion. And while he had lost the kingdom, he came to regain the kingdom and to dethrone Satan. And so here in Isaiah 53, why did Christ have to die? Isaiah 53, 4 to 6, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Speaking of Jesus. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Not smitten by Satan, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God laid on his son Jesus the iniquity of us all. Why did Jesus have to die? 1 John 3:8 says, for he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin separates us from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God told Adam and Eve at the original moments of Eden and of creation, he told them, everything, I have given you everything that you need right here. Only do not partake of this one tree. And when you do that, you will die. And we know that when they partook of that, they did not physically die at that moment. It took Adam 930 years to physically die. But in the spirit, when he ate of that tree and he disobeyed, there was a death that happened inside of him. And when you and I were born, you were born in a body, you have a mind, you have a will, you have emotions, and you also have a container that holds your spirit, but that spirit was dead to God at birth. And when you heard the good news and the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and you made a decision to come to Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you said yes to God, your spirit was resurrected. It became alive. Hallelujah. And you were raised to newness of life. And the Bible says that you are seated now in heavenly places with him. But your body's sitting right here. But let me tell you, something happened up there in the spirit, and God wants to let heaven come down. Whatever you've done up there, God, I'm praying that it comes down to me. And as I told you last week, you're in a battle in your soul right now, because your mind, your thinking, your will, your emotions, you are lined up one way from birth to this point of new birth. Now, your Father is in heaven, and now he wants you to live according to what his original intention was, and you're battling the way it was when you were born by the flesh, and there's this turmoil going on inside of you and me. Can you feel that? Every day, every moment. And we live in a moment of decision every day. Do I let this man live, or do I let that new man live? And Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God will not violate your will. That's your decision to surrender to him as king. And if you don't want to do something, God says, I'm not violating that. But if you want heaven to come down, it's your decision. And we live in that decision point every day. Hallelujah. And see, God cannot ignore sin. We ignore sin a lot. You know, you and I have sins in our lives that we don't even know about. David said they're hidden sins. There are things that as you draw closer to God and you ask God to touch you, he'll start speaking things. He'll start putting his finger on things. And while we can deceive ourselves, God cannot deceive himself. God knows that sin must be dealt with. He cannot just ignore sin. So God had this dilemma. How do I defeat my enemy Satan while not destroying my treasured creation, mankind? Because if he was just to destroy evil, he would have to destroy every one of us. And that's not what he wanted to do. So Jesus came. Jesus came. And he died on the cross. And on the cross, he took my sin and your sin and the sin of every person in this world, and he bore the wrath of God on the cross. And at the same time he was bearing the wrath of God, he poured out the love of God. Are you tracking with me this morning? Sin has to be dealt with. So rather than God saying, I'm going to deal with your sin just with you and you will be eternally punished, he dealt with it all by the sacrifice of his son. Corinthians says, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The great exchange. Your dirt for his good stuff. God's redemption, the payment for sin, requires blood. The Bible says that life is in the flesh, is in the blood. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. He told the Hebrew children on the day of Passover, when they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels, he said, when I see the blood, the death angel will pass over you. So his death was our victory, because he dealt with that sin by Jesus taking our place. Tanea, come on up. Give me that mic right there, babe.
Okay, who knows John 3:16? Raise your hand. All right, almost everybody. Sweet. So John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So our first prop today is the world. Jesus bore the weight of the sin of all mankind on his shoulders. So Joshua is going to come up, and I'm going to give him the world in a second. So when I give him the world, he's going to carry it on his shoulders. But because of our human weakness, we can't carry the weight of our own sin. Jesus had to do that on our behalf. So go ahead and try to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders and act like, exactly, we practiced, you can't do it. He can't bear it. Thank you. So that was perfect. So this illustrates that Jesus is the one to whom we should give all of our burdens, because he cares for us. He bore the weight of our sin out of his great love for this fallen world and people, and he's the one that we should surrender to and give him everything that we just can't deal with on our own.
You hang on to that. So he died to bear the weight of the sin that you and I could not bear. Why did he have to be buried? Well, in Luke 23, verse 50, we'll start reading. It says, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. And he had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose, and he ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So why was it necessary that he be buried? Well, simply so you could see that he wasn't buried anymore, that he had been raised. It was interesting that Jesus had to be born and died at a time when people were put in tombs. He wasn't cremated. He wasn't buried at sea. His death was certified by a centurion to Pilate. This man, this centurion, this Roman soldier, it was his job. When Jesus died, he had to go to Pilate and say, Pilate, the man that has been executed and ordered to be put to death is now dead. It was a certification. And when Pilate heard this, the Bible tells us he marveled that Jesus died so quickly. I mean, he's thinking to himself, man, that didn't take long. Usually takes most people a lot longer than this. And you remember that sometimes it takes so long they break their legs so they can no longer rise up to get air. And none of his bones were broken. They didn't have to do that. And so when Pilate got this news that Jesus was truly dead, there's Joseph. And he releases the body to Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph, and another scripture tells us, Joseph and Nicodemus came and they took the body of Jesus and they prepared it and they laid it in a tomb. And then the tomb was sealed with a really large stone. And they were afraid that somebody would come and steal the body. And so they put guards around it. And so to conquer the grave, he had to go to the grave. It was necessary for him to be buried so that we can come out of whatever we're buried in. His body had become cold and stiff. It seemed like hell had triumphed. Even darkness came on the earth. The disciples were very upset. He was placed in a sealed tomb. But at some point, God said, I accept this sacrifice. And God spoke life into Jesus. And Jesus got up. And he folded the burial cloth. My mother would have been so proud of him. I can just hear him saying, Mom wants me to do this. Mom wants me to make my bed. In the morning I'll fold my clothes. Can you see this? Jesus, he's getting up. He just takes these burial cloths and he folds them. And then he went to work. Do you know that after he was resurrected, before he ascended, the Bible says that he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Matthew 12:40 says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He went to hell. And he got in a fight with Satan for you and for me. There's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus descended into hell, but he did. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and he preached to the spirits in prison. Do you know that before the cross, when the righteous died, they had not heard of the name of Jesus. They were sent to Abraham's bosom. That's a place, that's in Hades. So there's two parts of Hades. There's a bad side and a good side, a holding place. And when Jesus came up out of that tomb. One of the things he went down and he defeated Satan, but he also, and he preached this sermon to the righteous souls that were being bound at that time, and they heard the name of Jesus and they surrendered, they released their salvation to him. And then when he ascended, he took them with him. And on the way, I find this so amusing, on the way, they made a pit stop. And it was like Jesus said, hey, y'all get out, walk around, surprise your friends, because people saw their loved ones who had died. And now they're walking around here. I mean, that day, that 3 days must have been something. I mean, Jesus dies on the cross. They're gambling for his clothes. It goes dark. They hear God's voice. I mean, there's so much that went on. The religious people were in the temple, and they could notice that the veil was being torn from the top to the bottom. I mean, chaos was happening everywhere. Some people were just sitting at home trying to ignore the whole thing, and were watching something and changing channels, and in comes Uncle Larry, who had been dead for several years, who was a righteous man. Man, that just must have been a chaotic time. And Jesus took those righteous Old Testament saints, and they're in glory now. In Revelation, Jesus said, I am he who lives and I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He amened himself. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah. He died to save us from our sins. He was buried to secure our victory over Satan. And we will talk about why the resurrection. Tanea, you're up.
Okay, so Joshua is going to be the angel in the story who rolls the stone away from the front of the tomb. Woo! I love this kid. All right. So all the kids in the room, I want you guys to come up and line up in front of me. All right, so this prop represents the tomb where Jesus's body was laid. And so one by one, you guys are gonna come look inside and you're gonna see that Jesus's body is no longer in the grave. The only thing you'll see in there are the cloths that they wrapped his body in. And so this means that Jesus conquered sin and death. And this gives us great hope. Because he lives, we get to live through him. So go ahead and take a look. Anybody in there? All right, hold on. Keep going. But stay up here. Go ahead and look inside, Lexi. You see a body in the grave? No? Come over here, Lexi. You see a body, Grant? No. Dana. All right, Joshua, this was your idea, so I'll let you do this. Do you want to lead us in a charge of He is risen? Yes. That was your idea, bud. All right, on three, we're gonna, have you guys seen Leah, how she likes to do this? And that means victory in Jesus. So on three, we're all gonna do He is risen and put our arms up in the air, okay? All right, one, two, three.
He is risen.
Thank you. You can sit down now.
Joshua, you were a good angel. You rolled that stone away so easily. You know, I like that. Don't we like seeing the little kids come up and look in? We just think that's cool, don't we? All of us need to look in. I don't want you all to come up here, but in your heart, have you ever looked in there? Is he really risen? Is this really true? Did this really happen? Or we just believe in something that's a lie? That's a question that each one of us have to ask and have to come to our own realization. So why wasn't it just good enough for him to die for us? Why wasn't it just good enough for him to be buried and then just stay in there dead? Why would he have to be resurrected? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Death came by a man, and by a man comes the resurrection. All of us died in Adam. That sin was passed down to every one of us, and all of us are made alive in Jesus Christ. It's all about the resurrection, saints. Our newness of our bodies, the freshness of life. Our original passage we put up out of 1 Corinthians said that Paul said, "I deliver to you, first of all, that which I received from Christ, that Christ died for our sins, the death, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. He was died to shed his blood for you and for me and for our sins. And he was buried to secure our victory, and he was raised to bring newness of life." But now I'm at my most excited part of this whole message. What do we do with this? And here we have a depiction of a throne. I'm going to put it front and center. We've been talking about the kingdom. Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to put it on the right side. Left side. Hebrews 4 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." None of this that Christ did does you any good unless you act on it, unless you voluntarily surrender. And you know, I've hesitated to share this with you, but I'm going to. Friday, my family had a little celebration. My wife and I found out several months ago that we could possibly have a grandchild that we didn't know anything about. And life in the 21st century is interesting. And it became very clear that we had a 15th grandchild out there. And as my son worked through the implications of that and warmed up to the idea that he was a father and accepted it, he decided that he would like for all of us to meet this child. And of course, we wanted to. And so Friday, we had a welcoming of a child into our family. And all of y'all know I'm a pastor.
Really?
Yeah. And I have a very interesting family. I have shapes, sizes, and all different colors. I have believers, non-believers. I have people with no opinions and or opinions they keep to themselves, and some with opinions that are loud and boisterous. But Friday, my wife and I wanted this to be a welcoming for a little grandchild who was brought into this world in not the most ideal conditions, but as a worldly grandfather and grandmother, we met this little one on Friday, little Lena Grace, so gorgeous, so beautiful, and we just loved her and welcomed her. And why am I telling you that? Because little Lena Grace, like all of us, is going to grow up and be faced with certain things. And today, I want to bring this next PowerPoint up. All of us face things. We are told lies by the enemy. We are told things by the enemy that God does not say. Life circumstances will tell you things. Your own heart will tell you things. Your start in life may not have been the best. And Satan will use that to try to put you down. Life circumstances can come at you. Your own inadequacies and weaknesses and mistakes, Satan will whisper in your ear. But the Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in time of need. So here are some of the lies that we all hear. I'm all alone. That's a lie. You're not alone. But when you cave into that lie, Satan uses that against you. This will never change. It just produces something in your heart that's not good. I don't have what it takes to do this. I feel overwhelmed. I can't be forgiven of that. Or maybe I can't forgive somebody of that. So over here, Lisa, would you come on up and get ready? Over here are all of these little things. This will never change. I don't have what it takes to do this. I can't do anything right. I feel angry. I'm all alone. They're all of those things written up there are right here. And there's also right here a little notepad and some pens. If your lie is not there, if the lie you're believing is not written up there, you come down here and you write it on this piece of paper. And then you take this lie and you're going to come and you're going to place it at the throne of grace. I'm bringing you intentionally to a point of decision this morning. I want you to be a participant. I want you to take a faith move. You do not have to. You can sit there. And if you sit there, that's fine. Maybe you're doing good. Maybe you're not believing any lies. Awesome. I'm glad. But if you are, Jesus died on the cross for a reason. He was buried in a tomb for a reason. He rose from the dead for a reason. And he says, come boldly to the throne. So as we sing this last song, I'm just going to ask you if you would like to, your decision, you just come up, pick out whatever lie it is, write the one that you're struggling with, and just toss it up there to the throne of grace. It's a faith move. It's an opportunity to break the lie of the enemy. So we're going to stand. We're going to close with this worship song. If you would like to do that, now's your chance. Lisa, lead us.
has fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. When final breath he gave, his heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is gone.
Forever he is living.
Thank you, Lord. Can we just give a thank you to the Lord this morning for His grace? Thank you, Lord. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are good. You are great. We give you all honor and glory. You are a risen King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, oh God.
We sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah again.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Lord, you are a great King. Most kings have people go to war for them. But Lord, you went to war for us. You died for us. You took our place. Thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for these people here, and I pray your blessing on each one of them. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as you raise to newness of life, Lord, that in their souls and in their spirits, they would raise to newness of life. And Lord, the lies that we put before you today, Lord, I pray that every voice of the enemy would be squashed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For you that came and you put a lie up there that Satan's been speaking to you, I encourage you, whatever that lie is, you need to get in the Bible and you need to find the truth to combat that lie. If you feel alone, you need to have the truth that God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when Satan, and if he ever comes and he tempts you again with that lie, you use the word of God against him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless these people. Bless them as they go. Today, as they gather, Lord, they'll be around family and friends. Use them. Let them be just an expression of your joy and your grace and your goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. God bless you. The Lord bless you. You have a great day.